That was awesome. And Peyton's sitting over there, and he's doing the recording for video. And it was kind of cool. It was already a learning moment because Peyton's like, the sound from Baltimore is not playing through to our video. And Paul Thomer runs over. We'll just, you know, push this button and do this. So it's like, it's also training, right? It's the older training the younger in a lot of ways. So every little piece and how awesome that is. So we put this in the schedule now. So every quarter, so once every 4 months, teens are going to do the Wednesday night service. We're hoping to even take over the music and, you know, everything we can. So, but that will be, it's just a, you know, awesome to be able to do it and to have them come up and share. Some of them look forward to it, like Nathaniel, and some of them are scared to death, like Rhema. And but I'm like, just do it anyway, right? By faith, we step out, and whatever God does is just awesome. So Rhema, you're up first. She's like, what? Get over here. So we asked Rhema to just do a little testimony about the Africa trip or something of that nature. So we'll have her go first. Then we'll pray for the offering after Rhema. That'll be the offering. And then Ben and Nathaniel are coming up, and Jesse's going to do the announcements at the end. Name, age, favorite color.
Okay, I'm Rhema. I'm 15. In Africa, we talked a lot about, like, purpose and, like, putting stress and worries on God. But I think what really stood out to me, and especially in this season of Thanksgiving, is, like, giving thanks and realizing that I need to be grateful because the kids over in Africa don't have, like, a quarter of the stuff that we have here in America. So it just, like, it really... It just really stuck out to me. And Pastor Marlin, who's the pastor in Linglongwe, he was talking about it on New Year's Day. So it was like almost a year ago. And that's when it really hit me that we have so much here and they have nothing. One of the Sundays, JL goes out to hand the little kids lollipops. And that was like the only Christmas present that they'd ever gotten, just was like one dum-dum lollipop. So I think it just really sticks out, and we all just need to realize that more.
Amen. One cool thing I just heard about Africa, it's kind of follow-up. I text and message over there. But while we were there, so they have 6 churches in Malawi, and we visited, I think, 4, maybe 5 of the 6. We didn't catch them all. But while we were there, we got the main 4 that are in the main city together, and we did stuff together, and we started like a teen ministry sports program while we were there, where we would all meet in a field, we would do sports, we would buy bread and soda and hand it out, and then we would do like a message at halftime, and then we would play some more sports, and then it'd be time to leave, but nobody would leave, we would just hang out. But these kids would walk an hour and a half to join us to play sports, an hour and a half from their churches to walk. And you know what's the most amazing thing? We started that while we were there. They all loved it so much, they are still doing it. Every Saturday morning, their 4 different church teen ministries are getting together because our teens went there and started a teen sports program on a Saturday morning. Isn't that awesome? So we'll pray, we'll take the offering, and then Nathaniel, Ben, who's up first? So Father, bless this offering, these portions, and every part of our service tonight. We ask, bless it, bless the offering. In Christ's name, amen. So if you're up first, you can come sit with me for a second.
Right. So I'm Ben. I am 16. I got this iPad here, actually. It was one of those, one of many impulse Black Friday dopamine deal buys that I found. I was like, oh, yeah, this is, $50 off, sure. Yeah, and then, nothing amazing. But so far, it's been pretty helpful with the notes and stuff. Let's just hope this 5 minutes sounds cohesive. So I was thinking about things to talk about because it's hard when, like, I ask a lot of you guys, like, you're the people I come to advice, so it's like, what do I have to say? You know what I mean? That's, like, helpful in any way. But I thought about just asking questions and all the questions I've had and some of the answers I've received. And a big question I kind of had within these last couple years was, does prayer change the mind of God? And a few of those questions that follow is, what as a follower of Christ, what is our greatest privilege? What is a practical gift God has given to us? And the answer to all of it is prayer, as it is to many things. And when I ask people, Christians, other Christians, who claim they believe in God or they pray, they always give me their answer, but it's like a hope so kind of prayer, and it's not like a faithful prayer given through faith. It's like a I want prayer, I need this, me. It's very self centered, right? When that wasn't what God intended prayer to be. Prayer was a privilege to talk to God at any time, and God loves to give answers to things. It's not always like an ask and you'll get it, right? I mean, sure, he loves to give. But I found a quote from Dr. Charles Stanley, and it says, "Realize the purity of our heart affects the response of God through our petitions." Realize the purity of our heart affects the response of God through our petitions. So going to now read in Matthew 7, verse 7, 7 through 11, a very popular verse. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you? Whom of his son ask bread, will he not give? Will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So in this verse, it shows that our God loves to give things, right? He's a very loving God and loves to give us the desires of our heart. I'm going to go through a couple questions that I saw and was also been pondering about these last couple of years, like I said. First one being, if God is omniscient, which means having infinite awareness, understanding, and insight, then why do I need to pray? We honor God by asking him for things and just in general. He is the source after all, right? And without asking the source, we tend to take prayer for granted. And God is very interested in us, in our lives, and wants to hear from us. I always find it a mind-blowing fact, are you ready? That we can have regular conversations with God, no matter what they might be, even if it's how your day goes. I was like, what other God that religions talk about are you able to just say, just talk about your day or just give thanks to, you know what I mean? There is none. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought that was such a powerful thing and such an amazing thing that we as Christians are able to do. Actually, I was at did a guy's house today. Lawn care. He's an elderly guy. I got the job given to me from Kevin Peterson, and he doesn't have any kids or anything like that. And he gave me this book, and this is just kind of a side note, but I wanted to show. I thought it was kind of cool. It's this prayer book. It's it was like 150 years old, just for this book, and it's Episcopalian or however you say it. You know, a bunch of those prayers. But I thought it was kind of neat. I wanted to show it. I was like I'm the wrong person. He's like, I don't have any kids. I have any kids to hand this down to, but I just want to give it to you. You know what I mean? Because you're a nice kid. I'm like, I am the wrong person to give it to. I do not take care of things very well. But anyways, let's see. Oh, lock me out. Actually, also pray for Carl too, because he include him in your prayers because he was a smoker for like 50 years of his life and worked in the shipyards, bunch of asbestos and everything. They said it was like snowing. And they actually had to take off a liter of water off his lung, and now he's on oxygen, and you know, so he's going through it. So just keep him in your prayers too, if you remember. Anyways, so next question is: if God has decided His eternal plan for us, why should we pray? Praying aligns us with God's will. And when we, and through praying and knowing God's will, we know something is from God because we prayed about it, right? It's, you know, very simple. It keeps us connected to Him, and gives us peace, right? How can you have peace if you're not connected with God? And it's the peace that, so we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you're no evil, right? That kind of peace, that supernatural peace that we get from connecting with God and His perfect plan and His will. When we do this, we get three things. We get God, three things happen. God is glorified is one. Two, I like my bullet points. two, our faith is strengthened. And three, spiritual satisfaction. And that wraps up that one. Next question. Does the success of God's plan depend on our prayers? So kind of like the last question, but when God says something, when God says He will do something, He will do it, right? No matter what. When He is guaranteed to do something, we can't really change that, right? He says He will do it. Our prayers won't change His mind of what He's determined. But there are some things God will do in response to prayers. If I can pull up 2 Chronicles 7:14, I have it on my phone. Just got to get it. It kind of says 7:14. Is that it? I'm on the wrong one. It doesn't matter. Anyways, people are which called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and will turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's good. Thank you. But yeah, so it's a response to our prayers that He will heal the land. I was going to say, so that is, you know, if we pray and we are still responsible for our lives, right? And that's all part of taking initiative and praying is being responsible for our lives. And, you know, there's consequences if we don't pray, right? We fall into sin. We get depressed. We get discouraged. And we become unfruitful when we don't pray. You know what I mean? It's such a huge thing. And it's so important that we, you know, take heed of this and just, you know, stay to be as connected to God's mind as possible, right? And, in conclusion, prayer keeps us connected, prayer brings us power, and praise be to God. So that's it.
All right. Are you ready, Nathaniel? He said no. He even had bullet points. He says he loves, I always make sure on a Sunday when I preach, I have some bullet points because Ben says he loves to have bullet points in his message, even when he's taking notes. All right. Name and age
for the video. Hey, so I'm Nathaniel. I'm 17. I can one up Zeb here. Ben. He might have got his on sale, but I got mine for free. My hat? Oh, no. My hair is terrible. I made a bad decision and got a buzz cut. Okay, so I'm going to do my message on finding peace through God. The last couple of weeks and months, I've been really pondering and praying about Bible college, whether or not I should go, whether or not that's the path for my life. And I've kind of come to the conclusion that I believe I'm felt led to go. So about a month ago, I applied to Bible college, and I'm waiting, scared that I'm going to be denied because of my age and that I won't find a place to stay because I still haven't found a place to stay yet. But I just now learned you can really find peace through God, through your prayers, praying that, you know, giving him your worries and everything. So I'm going to begin. Finding peace can be quite difficult. So when others hear who aren't in the faith that you can find great peace in the Lord, they think that'll excuse all your difficulties, but they couldn't be further from the truth. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, hold on, let me pull that up real quick, says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer to you to be tempted above that ye are able, and will be tempted. Also, make an escape, that ye be able to hear it." Even though God gives you lots of trials, tests, he also gives you a way out of it. He also knows that what he gives you, he's also prepared you to take. So in Bible college, Zeb and Eliza, two teens who just went down there recently, they've been going through lots of trials and tribulations. But God's really prepared them well for that. I think they just have to, if they keep strong with their prayers and through their faith, that they'll be able to endure anything. Next, I'll go to John 16:33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall be tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Sorry, hold on. Old iPads come with problems still. They're a little slow. Okay, that saying, it's saying that we may find peace in the Lord. Our human nature says that if we just have a better job, better house, or even better surfing, that we'll be able to find peace. But these only bring brief relief, where the God offers eternal peace. Next, can you guys open up to Philippians 4:4-7? Four says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderations be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." That saying, we should give all the Lord all our worries and prayers, rejoicing in him with all we do. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety onto him because he cares for you." If you have ever read the Voices of the Martyrs, you'll know that in some countries, in one of the stories, they'll give you an opportunity to leave before they persecute you. They can give you, they'll let you walk, but some of them decide they want to make the ultimate sacrifice and die for Christ. They are able to do this because their love for Christ, but also because Christ gives them ultimate peace. When we truly have a relationship with God, it's a virtue we have. Because of this virtue, we have peace and joy in the midst of troubling situations. We may not always be joyful, but we can have confidence in the Lord, rejoicing in Him. That's all I have for today.
All right. So we actually have a video. Paul, do you have that queued? We were going to show this video on Sunday, but we kind of ran short. So the church kind of did something awesome recently. We decided to take on more missionaries as sponsor. So while I was in Baltimore at convention this year, a Bible college student I went to Bible college with, we ended up on outreach together. And it was crazy. Like, in convention, there's thousands of people. We go on an outreach, and we connect again. And their church has actually been in need of some support. And they did Camp Life in Europe. He's been taking it on there. They had 15 kids get baptized in Europe at Camp Life. And Pastor Tomasz has taken it on, and he's doing some missions work. We're actually, you know, maybe this might be the next one we visit in 2 years. We're praying. We don't know where yet, but it's been one of the prayers. So this video is about 5 minutes, and then Jesse will have some announcements. So you can kill the front lights and the stage lights, and we'll watch this video. We'll show it again on a Sunday, but go ahead, Paul. Thanks.
Greetings from Belgrade, Serbia. We prepared a few pictures that you would learn a little bit more about our ministry, that you would see something more about our church, and you can pray. Thank you for being on our side. Thank you for loving missions. We love you. Enjoy.
And here you see me and my beautiful wife Eva. We live now in the Balkans, south of Europe. And this is my family with David and Elizabeth. We here do homeschooling. And this year, Elizabeth transferred to public schooling. This is the entrance to our small church. It's a former garage rebuilt into a meeting place where we fellowship and from where we do a lot of evangelism, spreading the news with talking one-on-one, handing out flyers, or using different methods as visiting people and giving out Christmas shoeboxes to the needy ones also with the gospel message. If possible, we organize even some concerts, musical concerts on the streets, and we do Bible distribution using a book table. You can see also some pictures from our summer camps and then a lot of pictures from our church gatherings. We focus on all age categories. In summer, we organize a summer camp for children where we have a lot of fun. We play different sports. It's a very adventurous. We sleep in the sleeping bags in a local school. And morning and evening, we have devotionals. In our church gatherings, we invite both small and big. We focus on little children, but also teenagers and also adults. Missions is, in one word, love and fellowship. We like to enjoy it, and we do things that we like. And that's the Word of God, and then fellowship around the Word of God and one with another. We also have a Bible school, which is once a week for now, and we teach different themes and topics, and also we listen ABD tapes of Pastor Scheller, Pastor Schibele, Pastor Stevens, that we would grow deeply in our understanding of grace and knowledge of God. Thank you for your interest in the Balkan missions and for your prayers, because the need here is great. Although we are not so big church in number, we want to be active and we do things, even inviting people over and having different meals, agape feasts for them, where we organize a Christmas party, New Year party, and any other occasion to fellowship and reach out to unbelievers. We organize once a month meetings for the teenagers, where they can play a lot of different games and they can learn more about Jesus Christ. Every mission field is needy. Your place, our place, any place. And we are privileged. We are just watching this video, thinking about us, thinking about the faces of these people, because the gospel needs to be spread and people need to be trained that they would go and carry the gospel further to others. It's a great privilege for us to be part of the work of God here in the Balkans, because this is not what we are doing, this is what God is doing, and we are just part of it. We just came into his call and we are watching his beautiful work, how it's being born before our very eyes. So thank you again for praying for us, for thinking about us. And just remember that missions is a corporate effort of the whole body of Christ. And you are so privileged to be part of this amazing Greater Grace move. God bless you. Thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
When I watched his video the first time, I was like, that's crazy, because he had that van load. You can turn on the lights. He had that van load of Operation Christmas shoeboxes. And I remember, and it was probably 2 years ago, our family, you know, we do whatever, 3, 5, 7 various years we've done them. And we tracked them, and it showed us that they went to Ukraine. And we were like, that's so crazy. Like, they could have been participants in his region of the ones that we sent. And we were like, that's so awesome. You just never know where it's going to go. And I looked at some of the pictures he said, like slums, like that's intense slums they have in their area. But he is reaching out. You saw how many different young people are in those videos. And I remember when we were in Bible college, and this is 20 plus years ago, you know, we always did stuff with the teens also. It was just awesome. So Jesse, why don't you come up? He has announcements, and then I'll close in prayer and hand it over to Pastor.
Okay, so announcements. Tonight after service, there is Breaking Down Chapel, if you want to help with that. All hands are greatly appreciated, and we will also